Prologue: The Storm Beneath. Long before the first rumblings of war reached Earth's surface, before the stars began to shift in alignment and the fragile balance of realms tilted toward chaos, before Sam Walker felt the call of destiny echo once more in his soul, something stirred beneath the surface of all things. It did not awaken with sound, nor with light. It moved like a breathless shadow, slipping unseen through time and history, lying in wait where no mortal eye could gaze. In the hidden places, beneath cities, behind governments, in the long-forgotten ruins of angelic war, it gathered strength. A storm was rising, and the world had no idea it was already too late to stop it. Azrael had waited. Once draped in light and glory, a sentinel of heaven's will, Azrael had become something else entirely, something broken and beautiful in its ruin. He had not fallen in rebellion like Lucifer, no, his descent was quieter, colder. It came not from hate, but from envy. He did not rage against God. He longed to be seen as equal. It was not darkness he sought. It was recognition. But the heavens had no place for rivals to the sun, and so Azrael fell, slowly, deliberately, banished not into fire, but into silence. For centuries he had labored to rebuild his strength, not in brute force, but in influence. He whispered to rulers in dreams. He sowed corruption in the highest places. He tempted the desperate with power and whispered promises to the proud. He became a phantom in the soul of nations, a presence just outside the edge of reason. And when he rose again, it would not be with the fury of a demon, but with the cunning of a god. Yet Azrael was not the true architect of this rising darkness. There was another, Trazol. The name was long lost to mortal tongues, even among the oldest angels it was barely spoken, a name that carried the weight of dread and awe. Trazol had been the commander of the heaven's armies, the Morning Blade, the Dragon Eater. Created before time to stand at the right hand of the sun, his might was unmatched, his loyalty unquestioned, until it wasn't. Unlike Lucifer's open rebellion, Trazol's betrayal was more tragic and more dangerous. He did not seek to dethrone the sun. He sought to surpass him through devotion. In his twisted love for God, Trazol believed he could ascend by proving his strength in battle against the very one he was meant to serve. His logic was flawless. His heart was not. For his pride, Trazol was cast not into Sheol or Tartarus, but into a place beyond suffering, a planet scorched and lifeless, seared by divine fire, where he would burn for 10,000 years in silence. He emerged not as the golden commander of old, but as a scarred relic of wrath, his voice like sand dragged across steel, his wings blackened, his heart consumed with one final purpose: to wound God by destroying his creation. Azrael became his instrument. Together, they sought the Tekef, primordial beings of chaos sealed in the abyss before Earth even took shape. The Tekef were not merely fallen. They were the first to defy the sun, ancient titans who once challenged heaven itself. Their return would not mean war. It would mean annihilation, a reordering of reality itself. But all was not dark. In the heavens, light stirred. The Father, eternal and unmoved, had already set in motion his response, not with armies, not with fire, but with a man. A single man marked not by perfection, but by faith. A man broken by war, yet still willing to bend his knee in prayer. A man whose love for his family was equaled only by his devotion to the Son. Sam Walker. He did not know the scope of the coming war, not yet. He did not know that every moment of peace he had lived, every breath of rest he had tasted, had been a gift, purchased by angels unseen and grace unmeasured. He did not know that his strength, his visions, his power, were no accident. He was chosen. The Son had marked him, not just as a warrior, but as a vessel, as a reflection, as one who would carry divine power into the heart of the enemy's camp, not to boast, but to redeem, not to conquer, but to hold the line until heaven's will was fully revealed. But the line would not hold easily. Azrael had seen glimpses of this man, in dreams, in prophecies, in the tortured ramblings of his most ancient seers. Sam Walker was not the strongest, not the cleverest, but he was the most dangerous, for he fought with a strength that was not his own. And so, Azrael plotted. If he could not destroy Sam in the field, he would break him in the heart. He would strike the one place even angels feared to tread, his family. But the Son was already there. 40 angels surrounded Sam's home, silent sentinels whose swords never dulled, whose loyalty never wavered. Their presence was a whisper compared to the thunder of what lay behind them, the Son himself, watching over the Walker family with eyes that had wept over Jerusalem, that had pierced the soul of Peter, that had once looked down from a cross and saw all the sins of men and still forgave. The enemy would come. The war would rise. But before the first blade was lifted, before the first portal opened, before the darkness spilled out like poison from the depths of the earth, heaven had already spoken, not in anger, not in fear, but in purpose. "You are mine," the Son had whispered to Sam in the quiet hours, "and no one will take from my hand what the Father has given me." And in that truth, the storm beneath would break, not into victory for the enemy, but into the rising of eternity's echo.